When I was 7 years old, I made my first Holy Communion at St. Anthony Parish, just north of the river. At that time, in those days, lay people were not permitted to receive from the chalice, and so we just received the host. And I remember as a little boy being kind of fascinated and wondering as I watched the priest consume from the precious blood from the chalice. I remember distinctly wondering what he was tasting. I thought, I wonder if it's warm and salty and metallic. And I thought that because I knew what blood tasted like. I had baby teeth that had come out or split my lip falling off the bike or whatever. So I knew what blood tasted like. And I remember wondering if that was what he was tasting at that moment in the Mass. As I look back on that, the fact that I was wondering about that tells me that I was pretty well catechized regarding the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist at 7 years old, to wonder if what he was consuming tasted like human blood. I was well catechized because I knew, even at 7 years old, that what was happening at Mass, what we received at Mass, wasn't bread and wine. It was instead the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. This is, of course, a solid biblical teaching that comes to us from the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel. We know that for these 5 weeks of summer, we are hearing the entire sixth chapter at Mass. We began on July 29th with the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves, and we will end on August 26th with the very last verses of this sixth chapter. For 5 weeks, then, we come to Mass and we hear St. John quoting our Lord himself as he outlines Eucharistic theology, in which Jesus makes it clear that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. In today's section of John's Gospel, the Jews are getting angry with Jesus because he's not letting up. He's telling them that you literally have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they want him to suggest that what he's saying is symbolic. And so they're angry, and the Gospel says they begin murmuring about Jesus, asking the question, what does this mean? How could he possibly be saying this to us? That, of course, is a good question. It's a legitimate question. Theologians throughout the centuries have attempted to explain the meaning of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. What does it mean? And how does bread and wine change into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ every single time we come to this altar at Mass? Well, those questions give us the opportunity to review a teaching that is central to our lives as Catholics. It is a teaching developed by St. Thomas Aquinas, and it can be summed up in one big word, transubstantiation. Aquinas is one of the greatest philosophers and theologians in the history of our church. As a philosopher, Aquinas drew from philosophical concepts that he found in a fourth century Greek philosopher and scientist by the name of Aristotle. He borrowed concepts from Aristotle to help to explain what was happening at the Eucharist. And so Aristotle said, again, fourth century Greek philosopher, as he looked around the world, he said, everything that we see, everything that's created, has substance and it has accidents. The accidents are qualities or characteristics of a thing that do not go to the essence of what that thing is. So color, taste, size, shape, purpose. You can change any one of those things and the thing is still what it is. But the substance never changes. The substance is that which unites all of those things together. So I don't usually do this, but I brought props to Mass today. Two pieces of paper. What are the accidents of these? Well, this is a pink color. It's letter size. This is legal size, white paper. So the accidents are white, this size, pink, this size, the bonding of the paper. Those are all accidents. Because I could change any one of them, hold up a blue piece of paper, and it's still paper. The thing that unites all of this, and even if I, you know, I tear this in half, I now have three pieces of paper. All the accidents are different. What unites them? Their substance, borrowing from Aristotle. The substance of these three things, the substance is we call paperness. The substance of paper is paperness. And it is the substance that makes a thing what it is. And everything has it. So we have chairs in the sanctuary. They have different accidents, different purposes. Some are for the servers, they're a little smaller. The priest celebrant's chair is in the middle there with the arms on it. The deacon's chair on either side of the bishop's. Again, different accidents to that. The bishop's chair, different purpose. We know that because if I would celebrate Mass from there and sit there, one of you would tell on me and I'd get yelled at. A different purpose. Those are the accidents. But what do all of these different chairs have in common? The substance of chair, which is philosophically chairness. We have different doors at the cathedral, some glass, some bronze, different purposes, lots of different accidents. But the thing that unites these doors with your door at home is the substance of door, which is doorness. So Aquinas borrows this concept of substance and accidents from Aristotle, and he applies them to the bread and the wine at Mass. All bread have accidents and substance. So the accidents of bread are the taste, the color, the size. It's wheat bread, sourdough bread, bread with raisins, whatever. Those are all the accidents of bread. But the substance of bread, that which makes it what it is breadness. What about the wine? Again, white wine, red wine, cheap wine, expensive wine, blush, rosé, it's all wine. But those things are accidents. You can change any one of them. It doesn't change what the thing is. But you line up all those bottles, the substance of all of those different vessels of wine, what is the substance of wine? Wineness. It's that which makes a thing what it is. And so Aquinas said that at Mass, when the priest takes the bread and takes the wine and repeats the words of Jesus at the Last Supper, Aquinas says that the substance of bread and wine, breadness and wineness, change. They are transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The accidents remain. Still looks like bread, acts like bread, looks like wine, acts like wine. But the substance has been changed, and therefore, the thing that it is transformed into something entirely different. And he called that transubstantiation. Mainline Protestant theology on the Lord's Supper is different. This is uniquely Catholic, transubstantiation. Some Protestants would argue, no, we believe in consubstantiation. Con is a word that means simply with. So, yeah, Jesus is present, but he's in with the bread. And he's in with the wine. We don't believe that. We don't believe he's with the wine and with the bread. We believe that that has been transformed into the substance of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget this past Chrism Mass. One priest was standing next to me. It was a wonderful spiritual time, and we were distributing the host to the priest, and he looked at it and he whispered, he said, "This is God. This is God." And he was right. We don't believe in consubstantiation, we believe in transubstantiation. And so I guess we can see maybe why, although I had a great catechesis as a seven-year-old, we can kind of see why I thought I did what I did about the wine, because I didn't understand transubstantiation and Aristotelian concepts of accidents and substance. I was a bright kid, but not that bright, you know, at seven. But what I was thinking about were the accidents. I wondered if the accidents changed, and of course, they do not. It still looks like wine, tastes like wine, acts like wine, because those are the accidents which remain. What changes is the substance, that which makes a thing what it is. I suspect that all of us have friends or co-workers, maybe members of the family, whom we encounter at one time or another who themselves murmur about our teaching regarding the Eucharist. And how can you say you're eating God? What does that mean? How does that happen? And I guess my hope is that as we get a little refresher on our philosophy course this morning, that we might be able to explain that to people a little bit better. The idea of the substance being transformed into Jesus Christ himself. If there are still questions, of course, one could always just break out the Bible, flip to the sixth chapter of St. John, and begin reading the Lord's own words, Jesus Christ's own testimony about what we receive at Mass. There's no doubt what he meant. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world."